I titled this message tonight, Leaning or Learning to Walk with God. And after Brother Orville sung that song, I should have entitled it, I Can't Even Walk Without You Holding My Hand. Because that's exactly what it is walking with God, hand in hand, in fellowship with God. And a man that's called Enoch, we fixed to read about in verses 5 and 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let us pray again. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we come tonight in your presence. Father, we know that you're with us, and we thank you, Lord. We invite you, God, because without you we'd be nothing, and Lord, we would be nothing to do nothing, oh God. So we just want to thank you this night in your presence, and for your answering the prayers, and Father, for our responsibility to lift up these names to you. And Father, we just pray each one of them, oh Lord, to be blessed in a way that your name might be glorified. One's in our prayer box, one of hearts or mind, and unspoken requests, and also the ones that we have called out tonight. Father, we pray, God, you be with the reading of your word. Father, hear this night in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. We do humbly pray. Amen. Enoch pleased God. Could you put your name there? Do you please God? Do you please God? Or how do you please God? By having faith in God is a start with. Enoch was the first astronaut. Did y'all know that? He was the first one. Genesis 5, if you read Genesis chapter 5, you read an obituary column in the Bible. You know, it says, and Adam, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. You ever read that chapter? And he died, it just died. It's just that goes over and over in that chapter. But one name stands out like a rose in a desert is blooming. And that name is Enoch. Because in Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through 24, as I read, it says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You would think you'd say, and he died, but you won't find it there. God took him. I mean, a rose in the desert of death. We have this name, Enoch. God took him. Not that he died, but he was translated. Start with, I like to talk about the meaning of this walk with God, and I've done a lot of soul searching. Think about the walking with God. In chapter 5 of Genesis 22, Enoch walked with God. And only two people in the whole Bible that God says that about him in his holy word. And that was Noah and Enoch walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? What does it mean to walk with God? The most intimate relationship that we could have with God. Why did God create us? And why did God save us? Most people would say, well, to serve him. No, if he wanted somebody to serve him, angels does a lot better job than we do. They obey a lot better than what we do, I guarantee you. Besides that, he could have made rocks to serve him if he wanted to. But you see, he made us and created us and saved us, you know, that we would serve it, not to serve him, but that we would love him. God wants us to love him so bad, to love him. Now, to know him in a very personal way. Micah 6 and 8 says, he have showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doeth the Lord require of thee, but to do just, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. You know, as older you get, the more that you'll understand scriptures. Ain't it please God? Please God when he walked with him. But you know the problem with many, many people this day, many, many people, they know about God, but they do not know God. Many, many people, the walk with God, they know God, but they don't know him in a very personal way. And Billy Graham says on our church rolls, in our Baptist church rolls, he said 40%. He believes 40% of the people are lost on our church roll. I believe it's higher than that. Of course, we don't know, but that's what Billy Graham suspects, and I suspect it's even higher than that. Well, I'd like to read you an essay by a young man. A 17-year-old wrote this essay. I'll just read you part of it. He was in a high school, and the title of it is Union of Believers with Christ. And I'll tell you who wrote it in just a moment. It says, we examine the history of man's nature as an individual. We constantly observe that the spark that sparks the divinity is in our breast or our chest, the enthusiasm for what is good and the struggle for wisdom, the longing for truth are being smothered by the flame of desire and greed. The zeal for virtue becomes defeated by the tempting of the voice of sin, turned into a mockery as soon as we feel the full impact of life. The words of Christ calls out to us loudly and convinces us to tell us that the union with Christ Jesus is absolutely necessary, that without him we would be rejected of God, that he alone is able to deliver us. And this man's name was Karl Marx. Y'all sound familiar to you? I'll fill you in on it. The father of atheism. The father of atheism and communism. 17-year-old student. He was in a Christian high school. It was a good essay. The union of believers with Christ. But you see what was wrong. He knew the answer, but he didn't know the Christ. He knew about him. He left school in Germany. He went to London and wrote the Communist Bible as we know of it today. He took two men, Stalin and also old Lenin, and probably there's no more man that caused more misery to human beings on the face of this earth as old Karl Marx did by his book of communism. And yet he wrote this. He knew about Jesus Christ, but he did not know Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people today on our church rolls knows about Jesus Christ, but they do not know Jesus Christ, and they cannot walk with him, and they do not please God because they do not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Psalm 23, verse 23 and 24 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The steps of good men are ordered by the Lord. We can just stop right here and meditate on that, as I did for a while. But when you and I serve the Lord, we are really walking with him. And the steps, one step at a time, are ordered by the Lord. That's all required, just one step at a time. God has a plan for your life. We're not to be like a ship out on the ocean without a sail and without a compass and without a rudder on the sea of life. And you know what the greatest discovery on this earth is? Is know Jesus Christ and the plan that God's for each and every one of our life. And the greatest achievement is to do it. The greatest achievement is to do it. As Psalm 37:23 says, steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. I'm telling you, to walk with God is to be enjoyed. We enjoy it, do we not? I mean, you enjoy a walk with the Lord. But you know, also the Lord enjoys it with you. Because it said, Enoch pleased the Lord when they was walking together. You see, whenever we begin to walk an intimate relationship with God, we enjoy it. The greatest happiness that you'll ever have is your choice. See, happiness is a choice, as I said. You choose to be happy. And you choose to have joy. Now, every day is not going to be happy to you, but you see, you can choose that you make each day. Enoch pleased God. God delights in our way. And it said there in Psalm 37, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And you know what? That's eternal security. How many times have you failed? And the Lord holds your hand. You know, a little baby, all of us knows, and we most of us have had kids, that our little children begin to walk, you know, and you put their hands in yours, you know, and they be just about to fall down. And, you know, you hold them up with your hands to keep them from falling down and skinning their knee. Well, you know what? That's the same thing. It says the Lord upholds us with his hand. Just about for you, God's going to hold you back just before you fall out. He's got you. And it's his hand holding on to you. You know, like a little baby, he can't grip your hands hard enough. I mean, you put your little index finger in their hand, they'll hold on. But they can't hold on you tight enough to keep from stumbling and falling. But, buddy, when you reach and get your hand and hold their hand, you can keep them from falling, can you not? That's God's upholding you, and you cannot fall, just like you uphold your kid. How many times we stumble and fail? Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, learning and leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arm. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. The meaning of the walk with God, side by side, is sweet, sweet, sweet communion. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and I hear his voice falling on my ears. None other has ever known that sweet relationship is you and God, or me and God. It's personal. It's just for me. The motivation for the walk with God, the things that call in to walk with God, I think the same thing it causes us to walk with God today. I think one thing is family. It says in Genesis chapter 5, 21 and 22, I think I read that, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. 300 and had begot sons and daughters. Birth of a child. He walked with God after that son Methuselah was born into his family. Does that tell us something? That a child born into your family, you'll never be the same. Is that right? When that first child is born in your family, you will never, ever, ever be the same. And that child in that family is called to many of other fathers running wild to say, hey, I got to live better for this child. You see, because whenever you bring that child in this world, God allows you, that child is going to spend somewhere for all eternity. That child didn't have a past, but he has a future to spend somewhere. And what you as mothers and fathers and grandparents, family, teach that child means a whole lot where they'll spend eternity at. And I want you to think about that. The tremendous impact that mothers and fathers have on children that they bring into this world. Because for that child, as soon as it's born into this world, it's headed one place, heaven, or it's headed to hell. As we know, as a child, if it was something to leave this earth when it's young, we know where it goes. It goes right straight to heaven because, you know, it don't have to be saved because it's already safe. But after it reaches that age of accountability, you need to bring that child up. And how many times, parents, have you all saw these little ones that's brought up in church and they begin, even but they don't even know, they begin to tell you and begin to see how their mothers and fathers act. They begin to say their prayer and you just know it. You implant something on their heart. Because you are their example. Fathers are example to those children. And also for the mothers and the fathers. Mothers and fathers, if we never done anything else right, if we bring our child up, I'd want my children brought up around the things of the Lord. Church and the Word of God. You know, it'd be the hell of hell if anybody to think they'd ever go to hell and bring one of their children with them. It's terrible. You know, a soul winner went into a home and was talking to a man and trying to get him to understand that he needs Jesus Christ. And this man was very rude and made excuses and silly arguments with a soul winner. But a soul winner just broke his heart. But, you know, as many times that I've tried to get people to accept Christ until the Lord gets ready with them and until they get ready to accept the Lord, they're not going to do it. But the son there was at preschool age in that home. And soon as the soul winner left, you know, that little son crawled up in his daddy's lap, put his arm around his daddy, and looked him in the face and says, Daddy, we don't want to be one of the old Christians, do we? We don't want to be one of the old Christians and have to go to church on Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday, do we, Daddy? You see, there's a lot of daddies that's doing things, that's teaching their children directly against Jesus Christ. They don't pay to serve Jesus Christ. It's what they're teaching a lot of them. I believe the family was one thing that called Enoch to start walking with God. Maybe some of you sit here. Now, I know that I done things and I still do things, but when I wasn't saved and I had two little ones at that time, and I was doing things and I shouldn't have been doing. Now, when you're lost, you're lost. But I tell you, when someone's saved, that should make a difference. Should make a difference in that family. When someone say that I'm saved, it should make a difference. And then I think the fear caused him to walk with God. In Genesis chapter 5 and 21, it says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah." Now, what does Methuselah mean? It means when he is gone, it will be sent. What's he talking about? It's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. That's what it means. God warned Enoch of the flood. And Enoch was a prophet. Read the book of Job and you find out he was a prophet. And Amos 3 and 7 says, "Surely the Lord will not do nothing, but he reveals the secret unto his servants and the prophets." Just like today. Enoch, as he looked at that baby, Methuselah, you see, and after Methuselah was born, he began to look at that baby, and then he says, you know, when he's gone, it'll be sent. Now, you know, we're living in some bad times too. Genesis 5 and 27 says, "And all the days of Methuselah was 969. That means he lived 969 years, longer than any other man. Why? Because of the mercy of God. The fear, the flood. The fear of, you know, bringing that flood and, you know, and people is not saved. Same thing today with the rapture. And the fear, I believe, a mother and father ought to make sure that their children are saved. Because after the rapture, you know what's going to be left? You're going to face the Antichrist. They won't face the Antichrist. That ought to make a difference. A man, a woman that say they saved ought to make a difference. Because one day it's going to happen just like it happened in the day of Noah. 2 Peter 3 and 9 tells us, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but in long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance." 969 years, God did not want to send a flood. But one of these days. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2. "For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night." Just like when it didn't rain. But it's going to. But we have no Methuselah to look. All we have is the Bible. Amos 3 and 7, you know, he won't do nothing unless he reveals it to his servants and his prophet. Well, the Bible says get ready for a climax because it's heading. Just as we see in our country, this president that we have has turned his back on the nation Israel already, whether you realize it or not. And that's one of the last steps. The last steps. Fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. See, I believe it was family, I believe it was fear, but also I believe that his faith caused him to walk with God. By faith he pleased God. Hebrews 11 and 6 tell us, "And without faith it's impossible to please him." I believe that it was his faith also, you see. And it says the maintenance of his faith, as we get into that, the maintenance of his faith. Genesis 5:22, Enoch walked with God after he got Methuselah. 300 years. Had sons and daughters. He walked with God for 300 years. The maintenance of his walk. You know, I don't have no problem walking with God a little while. Maybe when I'm on my study and I come to church, I can walk in here with God. I can walk with God. But how about all the rest of the week? Do you find yourself, as I do so many times? Now, here's a man that walked with God for 300-something years. It said after he got through 300-something years. That's a long walk, isn't it? You know, and it's hard for me to pray for 5 minutes. And here's a man for 300-something years. He walked with God. Consistency of his walk. No wonder he pleased God. Enoch lived at a time of very wickedness, of lawlessness, and was about to reach his climax. And I believe just exactly as we're living today. And God had to destroy that whole world of people except Noah and his family. And I believe it's about as wicked today as it was back in those days. I really do. And you know, this homosexuality thing, of course, people want to accept it as a lifestyle. You know, but you see, God destroyed a whole nation of people in Sodom and Gomorrah for the same thing. He's not going to accept it. I don't care who accepts it, God's not going to accept it. And you know, it's coming from in our schools, on television, you know that we're born that way. They can't help it. You see, that's directly against the Word of God and against God. That is a sin, just like any other sin is. That's a sin. They can't help it. It's a sin. And you know, as Christians, we certainly are not to hate a homosexual. They're not to hate them. We just hate their lifestyle. But we have to love that person as God loved them and loves them, just like us. Just like us. The Bible, Noah days, it said, it shall be the same as the day of the coming of the Son of God, the day that we're living. Only one way we can walk with God, and that's in Christ Jesus. Now, some people says, you know, it's just hard to live this Christian life and to walk with God. No, it's not hard. It's impossible. It's impossible. Have y'all found that out? Because only one person ever lived the Christian life, and that's Jesus. And he's the only one to ever live the Christian life. And what he does, he gets into us, and it's him that's living in us. That causes us. It makes us to live the Christian life. It's him that's doing it. It's certainly not us. Did you know down at Baxley at this nuclear plant, did you know all those big wires coming out of that place, did you know what? They do not produce any power. Nuclear plant do not produce any power. You know what they do? They release the power of uranium that's already in that uranium. All they do is release it. They don't make it. And you know, with us, we don't have any power. We just release the power of Christ that's in us. We just release that power. Because in us, there's no power unless it is Jesus Christ. Do we understand that? We just release that power. But the mystery of this walk is, I'm trying my best to hurry. I hope I ain't going too fast. By faith, it was translated that he should not see death. It means he was not found. When he said he was not found, that means somebody was looking for him. He wasn't found. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52 says, behold, I show you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, but we all shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. That's what's over the nursery door. Y'all seen that? All shall not sleep, but all be changed. Anyway, the song, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. And you know what? I'm passing through a whole lot quicker than it seemed like I want to. Y'all got me, hadn't you? But they're going to be a whole generation that's going to be translated. Up. Maybe today. Matthew 24, 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field, one shall be taken and the other one left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one taken and the other one left. It's going to come one of these days. They're going to be man and wife in a house, and one of them's going to be taken and the other one's left. They're going to be people in homes. You know what? They're going to be looking for them, but they won't be found. They're going to be looking for them, but they won't be found. Walk with God. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And one step of faith is receiving Jesus Christ. Receiving Jesus Christ. A preacher, many times as we get in our car, we back out. And as a young preacher got out and backed his car out, he heard a thump, thump, thump under his car. He said, well, it might be an animal. Could be one of children's toys. But there was a dreadful fear that come over him in his mind. As he got out of his car and looked under his car, he saw the crippled body of his little son. His son was bruised, broken, and dead. Many people tried to comfort him. And the fear of a lot of times, I've heard a lot of people as they've done this same thing, run over their own children by accident. And they tried to comfort him. But he had said, you know, I wouldn't have done this for the whole world. But I tell you tonight, I wouldn't either. But God did. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did. Brother Orville, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I wish I'd entitled that. You ought to have sung that to me, Lord, before I got up here. He's going to sing that song for us, and then we won't be closed. And while he's singing, if you want to come to the altar, you want to bow your heads in prayer right where you're at, it's up to you.